Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
This week on Unbox, I'm speaking with Josh and Archie, the YouTube duo who people will definitely know for their incredible pranks and their ability to take massive risks.
Doing Just Stop Oil felt like quite a big risk. I knew that if we pulled the video off, it would go big in the mainstream media. And with that kind of comes scrutiny, and you've got to make sure you're on the right side of what you're doing.
It's just part of this job that you understand that you are going to have to take risks.
We've seen them on GMB News as well as a ton of news outlets, especially with their huge viral moment, both with Katie Hopkins and with Carol Baskin.
The kind of content that we do is kind of more mainstream and more real. If the idea is good, I still believe it will do well. Yeah. We either seem to go very, very big or completely fail.
Casper and I grew up, we've been best friends since we were 13 years old. You've got to put yourself in the right situations if you can and work hard to be in those positions. We went to KSI and Logan Paul's boxing fight with a fake Ed Sheeran and tricked the stadium into thinking that Ed Sheeran was there.
So we're going to talk about all of that today as I dig into the topic of risk-taking. How has risk-taking really been, I think, the fuel for everything that they've done, and how can we learn a bit from that in our own lives? We're really excited to have them on the show, and I hope that you love the conversation and learn a little something too. Are you a creator looking to take a step up from shooting on your phone to a proper camera setup? Whether you're monetizing your work or boosting your personal brand, having a proper professional setup is incredibly important. And that is why we've partnered with MPB, the largest global platform for buying, selling, and trading used video and photo equipment. With MPB, it's easy and safe to access all the gear that you need. They've already assisted over 625,000 visual storytellers and recirculate over 485,000 pieces of equipment every single year. And as a team of camera experts, they're always on hand to provide you with the support that you need. So to level up your content creation game, hit the link in the description to get 10% off your first purchase at MPB. And stay tuned for exclusive MPB content coming to our socials. Josh and Archie, thank you very much for coming on Unbox, guys. So the big thing for me that I've obviously been seeing for a number of years now that you guys have been doing and I've been loving a lot is your ability to take risks. So like risk taking seems to be the big sort of thread between everything that you do, and it's something that I'm genuinely really curious to kind of dig into and learn a bit. Like, how do you come up with your ideas? How do you how are you able to then take the risk, and how have you made such a success off the back of it? So it'd be good to start with a bit about you guys. So who are you, for those who don't know? How have you come
together? They don't know us, they can f*** off. People that don't know who we are.
Exactly.
Appalling.
I started making YouTube videos in about 2015. I had a bit of a career with the likes of Casper Lee and Joe Sugg making silly videos on the internet.
Name drop.
Good name.
I then came across Archie through a mutual friend, and I'd actually seen a series he'd made called Archie Asks, where he would, well, I'll let you explain. It was very, very funny.
It was a very long time ago, but I used to go to public events and interview people with fake news. Right. So go to Wimbledon and say, Jacob Rees-Mogg is playing Andy Murray in the next round. Who's going to win? And they thought they were live on the BBC, and they weren't. I had my cameraman with a completely fake radio mask coming out of his camera to make it. And we go, countdown, 3, 2, 1, throwing from Claire Balding to you. Yeah, and we're here. And they just chat complete shit.
And they were really brilliant. They're still actually up. If you search Archie Asks, you can see them. And I then got to meet him, and we became good friends.
You slide in the DMs basically and just hit him up, be like, yep, I love your videos. I'm a big fan. He's like,
you're like
go
huge
away.
Fan. In fact, you did. You commented on my very first Archie Asks. You said, first?
Oh,
in those days, all the goons on the internet, the first commenter would get first, as if that's some kind of achievement.
Well done.
And you did it to me.
I did.
It paid off, because look at, you know.
Yeah, it was also the last comment. It was the only comment.
And we then met. Archie then helped me with some videos. We worked really well together. And over the sort of course of a year, we had formed this partnership, which wasn't yet official, but we knew we had something special together, and we decided then to join forces and become Josh and Archie. And
sounds like a relationship. Like, if you just replace the word Archie with Ellie, your girlfriend's name, the story is exactly the same. We decided to form this partnership.
You're really Ellie, actually.
I'm really Ellie.
It was interesting because the content I'd started making originally on YouTube was way more just vlog It was fun and vloggy and we'd
authentic.
It was a bunch of friends messing around essentially. And when I met Archie, we actually started to create content that I think I would enjoy to watch more. And
what are you suggesting that you wouldn't want to watch you and Joe Sugg play the alphabet game? Extraordinary accusation.
The alphabet one's actually a good one.
Or South African UK Olympics. Or my favourite one, which is when you decided to put some chocolate in a nappy.
Yes,
was it called the poo prank?
It was called the poo prank. So what you do
is the poo prank.
Someone drops a nappy in a bin. With
golden era,
in it.
This right, wasn't it? Yep.
I walk after that person, pick the nappy out of the bin which has chocolate in it, and then eat the chocolate.
Hundreds of thousands of people watch this, and you wonder why the youth of today are because they were spending time watching these games, do shit like that.
Yeah, it was a different time.
It was a different time.
Simple time when that could get 100,000 views, right?
Yeah, more. Yeah.
Now
the effort that goes into your videos.
Oh my god, yeah, it's gotten a lot harder, but like I think it's more rewarding for us, like putting in the work and then. Sometimes it works.
It's less rewarding when no one watches the fucking thing.
Which does happen.
Which happens more than we'd like.
Yeah.
We either seem to go very, very big or completely fail. There's no middle ground. We very rarely have a view get 500,000.
Well, that's it.
Get 500,000 views.
Power of risk taking.
Yeah, I guess so.
And what was the first video that you guys did together?
I did a silly music video that Archie helped direct, which was a parody, and it was a diss track on Connor Maynard's sister, Anna Maynard. It was just a fun thing. But yeah, I think the first video we properly worked together on was...
Is Anna Maynard still alive? I've not heard her name for a very long time. Oh, good.
Yes,
I'm sure.
She's great.
Google her.
We listed a tank, and I must get this right because a lot of people got angry with me for calling the tank a Challenger 2 in the video.
Right.
It's not a Challenger 2. The tank enthusiast will tell you it's a Scorpion or something.
No one cares.
You hit a niche on YouTube right there, didn't you?
Exactly.
So we listed this thing
this
on.
Is not for you.
We listed it on Uber, and it died.
Right.
For about
14,000 views in 2 weeks, which was for me, for us at the time, was the worst ever performing video we'd ever had.
And he'd spent a huge amount of money on hiring a tank.
You're gonna make that back on.
It then managed to find the tank weirdos, and they came out in force.
We started seeing these comments like, "That is not a Challenger 2 tank. That is an XLR Scorpion."
Yeah.
And it ended up growing. I think the video now is on over 5 million views, but it literally had died. It had 14,000 views. No one was watching it. And someone, maybe it was Susan Wozniacki, I don't know, someone blessed us
right now.
And gave us...
Find the tank freaks and serve it to them.
Yeah. And did you not change anything to the video? No change to thumbnail or anything?
No, didn't change anything.
We're really spectacularly bad at playing the YouTube game. We have almost no interest in it. I find the sort of the whole thumbnail title shit, it's so boring.
Yeah.
And everyone has these, you go meet these other YouTubers and they've got these extended theories as to what you need to do. That. If the idea is good and is the content's watchable, I still believe it will do well.
We
disagree.
You can have a great restaurant. If your restaurant doesn't look good from the outside, no one's coming in.
It's all packaging, man.
No, it's bollocks.
The crazy thing was, while that video started getting views, behind the scenes, we had bought a quail's egg from Sainsbury's and put it in an incubator in my flat to see if a supermarket egg would hatch. And as the tank video started getting views, this quail's egg hatched and we were on to another big video and then we made that and we just found this momentum and that really got us going as a duo. And
then we did a pilot for Channel 4, took 6 months off YouTube, the pilot wasn't commissioned and everything got
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah we did. Not many people do.
Didn't get commissioned.
The four runners and the camera people are the only people to have seen it.
Okay, hold on.
Sorry, we've jumped ahead.
I had no idea and now people know. But what was that? Why? Why did you want to do a commission? Like, what was that whole process about?
So it's a thing called television, Jordan.
It was
a big thing.
I know.
People up and down the country.
Basically, all Archie wants in life is to make his parents proud and they don't know what YouTube is.
So this is my question. You guys are obviously, I mean, you know, at that point, the video just started to take off. You hadn't had the run that you've had now. Now you probably look back and say that was a waste of 6 months. Maybe you do, or maybe it was a learning, refining experience. But what led to that decision?
People on the internet always ask, why telly? And it's because the content we make is real. Mm. We don't lie in our content. We don't even stretch the truth. If we say we've done something, we've actually done it. It's quite, as you say, risky. Television will provide us more money and space and time to do that. It's still the medium that I think the vast majority of people are consuming entertainment on and will always be.
Money's questionable.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is. They might watch it on their phones, but I'm including Netflix and that. I'm including streamers. I'm including things made with the production company.
The one I would say, I agree to a point, but linear TV is very different, right?
So linear is not what I mean.
Yeah, linear in the toilet.
But broadcasters, then there is still the argument for linear TV. There's an argument for linear TV. There's an argument for some shows do still work in that format.
They do, but the audience on every conceivable metric is dying off.
The kind of content that we do is kind of more mainstream and more more real than a lot of the stuff you see on YouTube. And television lends itself to that.
And we're super modest.
Yeah.
Well, it's not modest. It's just like our content is actual. Whereas you see a lot of videos where it's like, I did X.
Everything's constructed and everything. Yeah, for sure.
And I want to develop... I was saying this yesterday. I want to develop a special software for YouTube where people can comment on the title below it, like fact check it. Like how Twitter has.
Yeah, well, like the fact... Yeah,
so I'd like to be able to comment on some people's videos. Actually, this didn't happen. This is a lie. What they're selling you is bollocks. Because I find that kind of thing very irritating.
They have a little submissions tab on the website. I think you can probably hit
I'll feed it in and just be like,
this is a really good idea.
He's going to start tapping my leg now, going, shut up.
No, but 6 months developing a channel for sure. Can you share anything about that?
It was very exciting. We had a bunch of really talented people in it with us. And
it was our baby. Like, we created the format.
We were the producers
worked with an amazing,
of it as well,
amazing production company. And we had Matt Lucas in it from Little Britain.
Yeah, Matt's great.
He was like the leader of it. And we were his sort of people he'd send out to stress test Britain was the concept. Yeah. So would certain things... You know, would Piers Corbyn accept a bribe of Monopoly money to stop talking about the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is obviously a YouTube video we've done.
Yeah.
But that was the sort of vein of what we were...
Okay. But fingers crossed, if anyone is listening, money, come and find us.
How did you find coming out of that 6 months and then obviously going on this run, which was just unbelievable? Like, talk us through that.
So the run happened before that.
The run happened before, the run of all the big videos.
Then we did the TV pilot.
Fine.
And then we started producing shite that no one wanted to watch. It killed us.
Yeah.
That and the pandemic.
We took stock and re-strategized, but it nailed us for a while. We were struggling. We then set up a production company called Goon Squad Productions, which now creates all of our YouTube content. So me and Archie are the co-founders of the company, and we've got a great team there. And as well as doing that, we create corporate adverts for brands, but like good, fun adverts, guerrilla marketing style.
Quail Egg. Hatches.
Yep.
Tanks.
Thanks, well, smashing
it's a nice moment. Then what happened?
Then we were like,
I asked for a pay rise. That was the first thing that happened.
So, did
this
you, point,
did
I was
you get
it?
For Josh.
right.
So our entire relationship across has been punctured with me asking for more money to eventually me going, give me half the channel.
Yeah.
But at that point, it was just more money.
Yeah, it was just us working together. We then thought, like, this is working. We then made the video where we sold microwave meals on Deliveroo from the Italian Stallion, which was actually just the microwave in our flat. So we listed it as a real restaurant, but it wasn't a real restaurant. It was a microwave.
It's interesting, the ghost kitchen side of things.
Yes.
Obviously, you guys actually were like quite key, I think, in poking the hole into that model, which obviously we went down into with sides and obviously quite heavily. Right, we've pivoted massively away from that model, which has a lot of nuance to it. Obviously, Jimmy and Beastburg is now in a real challenging spot pursuing each other. Did you see that video? There was a... I can't remember which creator did it in the US, but it was really big around ghost kitchens, and he looked into the whole thing, and it did really well maybe a couple of months ago, and he found that one place was serving 40 restaurants one location.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Anyway.
So, sorry, to get back on to your question, so we had the Deliveroo video.
Yep.
We then had a video where we went to KSI and Logan Paul's boxing fight with a fake Ed Sheeran and tricked the stadium into thinking that Ed Sheeran was there. And then the sort of pinnacle of all this momentum, I think, happened in January of 2020, where we flew Katie Hopkins to Prague and presented her with the Campaign to Unify the Nation trophy. After that video that I think we realized that we were onto something special as a duo, and we decided to make this a full-time thing as Josh and Archie.
Okay.
And then after that, we had some more really great videos. It was sort of a celebration of our joining. The next video we had was where we tricked Carol Baskin into thinking she was on the Jimmy Fallon show. So in
that came after Katie.
Yeah, that was in lockdown. Oh, wow. So we were in each other's. We were obviously in our own homes the entire time, completely locked down. Could not see each other.
We actually were. Why are you making this?
No, I'm just making it very, very clear.
Everything you say is true.
People will have realized by now. I'm 90% bullshit. But it was a really fun idea of like, can we do something without having to be together?
Yeah.
And Josh was running the soundboard from Vauxhall, and I was running the tech operations from Fulham via America, and it all kind of came together.
Yeah,
and it was a series of three videos, and that was the most exciting. But it was so thrilling.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I mean, you entertained like so many. I mean, it was huge, right?
Yeah, it did alright.
Yeah, it did really. I mean, it did got featured on James Corden.
You featured everywhere, bro.
It got featured on James Corden's Late Night Show.
It was massive.
And James Corden's executive producer, he's a legend called Ben Winston.
Ben Winston, yeah.
Sent us a photograph of what he was looking at of James Corden, all the different camera angles and the auto cue with our names on it, great. Which I've got framed in the office. It's like very one of those like
big moments. Really
and fun, then you know we're on a high point of life. Mm. The Channel 4 call comes in. We go and make a Channel 4 pilot, and then that doesn't get commissioned. Yeah. And it's like building up from the bottom again because we lost all of our momentum on YouTube.
And time,
it felt like so much time. Obviously, it was so like disheartening. We poured everything into this pilot, which we thought was really good, but.
And then your risk appetite goes down because you're like, well, how much money have we got to spend on the next thing? You know, you've got to take a risk initially.
Yeah.
And you talk about risk. I mean, the biggest risk for Josh in the days of when we did over Katie Hopkins, I was working for him. So he had to put up the money for that.
And we hadn't like spent a lot of money.
He's only worth 5 or 10 million. So it was a lot of investment for him.
Since meeting
his girlfriend. Now he's absolutely fine. This is a hobby now. But for him, all it would have happened is like something Katie Hopkins found out or recognised him or something, and that would have gone. So that was the biggest risk you took. Mm. It thankfully paid off, but that was solely
the biggest risk I took was joining forces with you. It's crazy.
Obviously, But that's a good. I mean, you raise a good point, right? With all of these different things, and I guess maybe a bit less risk during lockdown, maybe when actually everything's done on a computer. But when you're going physically, you're actually entering spaces, you're traveling, the amount of money that you actually are putting up to make these things happen. I mean, can you talk us through a little bit about commercially what it takes to make a big risk video, which actually has to have this payoff? And if it doesn't, have there been any examples?
Well, our problem is that sponsors, a lot of sponsors, we won't put sponsors behind our biggest risk videos because it's not right to be like, hey, we're going to screw you over. Please buy this toothbrush. It doesn't quite work.
It's just part of this job that you understand that you are going to have to take risks. I do find it interesting. I think we got quite lucky in our early days where like a lot of our risks paid off. And in the sort of videos that have followed, we've had quite a few that didn't pay off. You know, for example, we had a video idea where we wanted to get a gay conversion therapist to appear in a gay porno, but he unfortunately recognized Archie's voice over the phone, and the whole thing came crashing down. And
he's watched a lot of gay porn. That's where he got it from.
Where did you find me?
I know that voice.
At this point, you know, we'd done a whole bunch of pre-production work. We'd set up a website called Gelden Yap, which made a fun acronym.
What's the acronym?
Gay.
G-A-Y. We'd done all sorts and, you know, put loads of time into that. It didn't work. Mm. And you move on to the next thing.
And that's happened more times than we've had videos that have come out. We've had videos that haven't come out because people find it out or something goes wrong. Like, but it's a very, very regular occurrence.
Where we got lucky is, like, the early risks we took in terms of putting a tank on Uber and trying to hatch a supermarket egg and listing this restaurant on Deliveroo, things that definitely could have failed, they did work, and that actually then gave us, I think, the belief to believe that we can do this and we can take these risks in the future.
Yeah.
And maybe now we're just, like, taking bad risks.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's paying off, right? I mean, so talk us through some of your recent videos, especially, I guess, just.org, right, which has gone... But not, it's gone crazy in a big way. And obviously, I think there was quite a lot of positive support. It's a very polarizing issue, a lot of some like criticism as well. Like, how have you guys reconciled all of that? What was the story of that video? How did it come about? And then what's it been like since?
We always get a bit of a whirlwind. I mean, you've got
Katie
Hopkins, you're getting all the far right nutters, and then you do Piers Corbyn, you get the far left nutters. We try and always find an angle that most people can agree on. So, with the Just Stop Oil thing, we knew we wanted to do something about them because they were such a dominant part of the country. We were trying to find that angle to move on, and the angle was just stop pissing everyone off. So the angle was, let's not discuss particularly whether their motives are right. I think most people agree that climate change is a problem. It was about specifically whether their tactics are doing anything. So once we found that niche way of presenting the piece, then the rest of it kind of fell into place.
Yeah.
We did that, and then we just through that discovered that they were having a party.
Yeah, that was quite an interesting discovery for us while we were making the video. I think we felt that really gave us the justification for what we were doing. They speak a lot, Just Stop Oil, about the reason that they are stopping mothers from being able to drop their kids at school and blocking people in the road is that there is a climate emergency and it's very urgent and there's no time to waste. I just felt to then be throwing a party for the Just Stop Oil members to celebrate their success and also mourn the death of the planet, as they called it, that just felt really hypocritical to us. And I think it was fair to serve them a sort of taste of their own medicine at that event.
So they were having this party and we went in with balloons with personal alarms attached to them and sent them up and made a hell of a lot of noise.
Yes, it was very loud.
How did they react to that?
Very well.
They were keen to engage. I think ultimately the majority of people I encountered from Just Stop Oil are good people with good intentions.
And a lot of free time.
And a lot of free time. It struck us, and this came from our mole who was with them, that they had become more interested in being arrested and being seen as rebels fighting for a cause rather than the actual fight for climate change. They were more interested in being arrested and you know, looking like real protesters.
Why do you think that was? From what he was... Because obviously spending 3 weeks with them, I guess you get to really understand the ins and outs, the characters, the motives and so on.
I mean, like, it's in the video. I think essentially they just quite enjoy... It's a kind of cult almost.
Yeah.
It's not a cult.
Sorry, community.
It felt like a cult in some ways, but it's definitely not a cult.
It has cultish qualities.
It's got cultish qualities.
A bunch of cults.
I think when you feel like it's your group against the world, so to speak, it's quite fun and it's like, ooh, we're going to get arrested today and it feels...
But it goes back to what we also do, because after the video went up, it went bananas, particularly on the media. The media could not get enough of it. Partly, in fact, mainly because it's August and there's no real news. So
everyone's
on holiday. There was something for the journalist to write about. But again, like I always think of online and offline when we're coming up with an idea. So an idea, for any idea, has to be both online and offline interesting. So I would never, ever sort of suggest to Josh that we do a video that isn't going to get press.
Yeah.
To me, that's super important part of what we do. So,
Whereas
doing videos that just do well on YouTube doesn't interest
us. It's interesting because obviously you guys coming together, for Josh, I can imagine you being so in the world of YouTube for so long. It must be quite interesting for you to work with someone like Archie who comes with this angle that is, I mean,
he comes with more than just an angle. He comes with so many problems.
A whole lot of baggage too, but with the angle of, that this has to work because it's worked out, right? It has to also work for the mainstream and tick that box. And I think it's a very different approach to YouTube to actually think more around the mainstream
because you
must come together
each
really
other
well.
Out,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. His knowledge of YouTube is appalling.
Yeah.
I can't bear it.
Oh, I can tell.
Horrible.
He definitely hates it as he sits there on the creator app.
That's it.
Every time a pound comes in on revenue, it's getting out on therapy.
No, I think in a number of different ways, we're quite different to each other and have a bit of a sort of yin and yang thing going on. And that's what makes us work, I think.
Yeah. So what has been the biggest risk you think you've ever taken together? Individually, what would you say is the one that stands out?
For me, the Katie Hopkins video, because there was just no guarantee that it was going to work. She could have pulled out. She could have got sick. She could have thought something was wrong. And we'd spent a huge amount of money on the video, and it all hinged on that one night. So it could have been a complete...
And more than on that one moment.
On
as
that
well.
One moment,
you know,
yeah.
That putting the C word behind her was the mission. That hadn't worked.
And did you plan that all from the beginning? Like, that was the thing we needed?
It was so rehearsed, that video, yeah.
Wow.
We spent hours training him on getting it.
What do those hours look like?
That was
a dance. How do you get that into...
I sat...
Did you play as Katie Hopkins?
Yeah.
And
we put a wig on?
No, I did not put a wig on. No, I just embraced my inner racist. And...
We rehearsed that speech I made.
He kept on saying, I've done it now, I've done it. I went, no, Josh, again and again and again and again. And then it was like a dance. It was honestly like a theatre production.
Oh,
she was
really?
Essentially in an immersive theatre production with our actors who were all rehearsed as shit.
We went there the day before to rehearse with the actors as well so that they knew exactly what was going on. And they were, because they had to play a big part as well.
How many actors were in the video?
10, I think.
10 or 11,
could be wrong, but I think about 10. Yeah.
Did you have like a community centre or something to rehrehearse it?
We had them all in there all day rehearsing it.
In the same venue.
Then having to deal with the staff at the Four Seasons Hotel.
And how many views is that video on now? Ooh, do you remember? Do you know?
On YouTube, I think it's got over 8 million. No, I think it's like between 8 and 9 million.
But our biggest videos do incredibly well on Twitter first. That's
interesting.
We try and tease a moment on Twitter. On Josh's
I bet
Twitter.
You love Twitter more than YouTube.
I love Twitter way more than YouTube. He's got quite a big Twitter presence. So often we'll tease things on there and things. I mean, that went bananas on Twitter.
Yeah, it went really big. I think it was, that was crazy. Like Stormzy tweeted it.
Yeah.
You know, crazy people like
that.
So nice.
I do know who he is.
Yeah. But that's it. It's like this is what I think is really interesting about you guys. It's like, I don't know. If you'd be thinking Twitter first in the way that historically, but I feel like you coming from this angle of Twitter, mainstream, TV, like getting that that kind of support, but also making things that can work for the more traditional mainstream, and then you bring in the kind of YouTube excellence. It comes together to form Moments, because I do think very few creators I've seen anywhere are able to get that mainstream traction, and you guys have done it probably because you're focusing on it and thinking about it.
Yeah,
and also
it's
maybe
active,
you also
it's
you care about it, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because I mean, I find the vast majority of stuff that creators put on YouTube to be utterly dull.
Oh, you're such an arsehole.
It's like it doesn't interest me. I mean, it's obviously brilliant and it's got an audience.
You
must
understand that Archie's very strange. I mean, I still think that he was actually born in the 1700s and he just got. I think he's a vampire, or he's just been living for about 300 years. Archie doesn't listen to music. He just listens to show tunes from his favorite musicals.
Favorite musical parade. I just saw him. I saw him Broadway with Ben Platt. Ben Platt's coming to the UK.
Was it good?
Yeah. Awesome, amazing. Yeah. Yeah, I listen to a lot of musicals.
Is that your number one on Spotify? You know, it has a.
I don't have Spotify, but I'm an Apple Music guy.
Really?
It's so weird. In all seriousness, your sort of what you enjoy watching is genuinely quite a bit older often, and we've taken inspiration from a lot of the things I grew up on, but even things that I didn't watch when I was younger, which Archie did. Shows like Brass Eye, which he's obsessed with, and then
Blackadder, but being on Blackadder,
love Blackadder, cool show. Yeah. Great show.
It's great. It's a great show. Fraser.
Yep. I'll tell you what. Doing Just Stop Oil felt like quite a big risk.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was going to go. I knew that if we pulled the video off, it would go big in the mainstream media, and with that kind of comes scrutiny, and you've got to make sure you're on the right side of what you're doing. Mm. And so that felt quite risky at times. And then once it comes out and you see the reception, you deflate and you go, it's okay.
Yeah, it was so interesting because I think our core audience potentially were a bit hesitant towards that video when they saw it come out.
Yep.
And it's interesting the reactions you get from people when you do something that they maybe disagree with compared to when you do something that they do agree with. Now, all of a sudden, people are calling us immoral and wrong and monsters. But with some of the other videos we do, they were sort of cheering us on. And,
I had a letter in the post yesterday. Someone managed to track down my address with a Christmas card in it that they wanted us to have to beat the Christmas rush, and it was a big thick. I opened it. I put on my gloves to open it because I was like, "This is going to be anthrax."
Please,
no. What the fuck is this? Complete weird off the internet.
Yeah,
I just found it.
What was inside of it?
It was a Christmas card. And another long story. Another Christmas card inside.
Okay.
Very strange woman sending me Christmas cards.
It was actually Christmas. It was his mom.
It wasn't. I promise you. My Christmas card has arrived from this woman off the internet because of the Just Stop Oil video.
Do you have any idea how she found your address or anything?
None at all. No.
You're going to get more.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, now you are. Yeah.
Send money.
Send him Christmas cards. It's clearly your address is easier to find than you think.
Clearly it is, somehow. Yeah.
The video where we bribed Piers Corbyn felt quite risky. I guess there wasn't a huge amount to lose, but it was very scary offering someone, because we had a real £10,000 in cash in an envelope, which we showed to him. It was then switched out for Monopoly money. But luckily, Archie's a professional magician and did the switch with a magician colleague of his very well. But if they'd messed that up, we would have just given Piers Corbyn £10,000.
All of your magic training for all of your life.
No,
that moment.
That exact moment. Right
Yeah.
It worked very well. It was a colleague of Michael Henry White, who's another brilliant magician, and we did it. We did a quick switcheroo and off it went.
There we go.
Sorry, I've just tapped that.
Right, we're going to play a game now.
Cool.
So I have a box.
Because it's unboxed.
Despite the show being called Unboxed, this is a recent innovation.
Yeah.
But I wanted to try it with you guys. So inside the box are a few cards. Got three for you, two for you. You can pick them and give them to each other. Yeah, it's fine. Open it up, and I want you to go through each one, read them, and we'll talk about them.
Okay. This is a screenshot of the day I announced that I'd started a YouTube channel, and I have one subscriber. So this is from my Instagram.
I've never seen this.
One's better than zero.
Yeah, one's better than zero.
You look so hot in your profile picture compared to now.
Yeah.
Look at that header. I think that's Knysna, my hometown.
What was it like for you to start?
It was a lot easier for me to start than I think it's been for a lot of other YouTubers. I was in a group of massive YouTubers who were all my friends when I started. So I think the night I launched the YouTube channel, I think it got like 50,000 subscribers or something.
Okay, so it didn't stay on one for very long.
It didn't.
All through your natural talent and charm.
Obviously.
The success of his YouTube channel at the beginning is the equivalent of a great aunt dying and leaving you £1 million.
I mean, nepotism has its place, okay?
Hey, I had made some excellent cameos in some extraordinary YouTube videos. Yeah, so I mean, when I started, there were comments on people like Joe and Casper's YouTube videos saying, Josh, please start a channel, which had, you know, 10,000-20,000 likes.
Yeah.
So it was a lot easier for me to start. Casper and I grew up, we've been best friends since we were 13 years old. We met when we were 12 and we hated each other for a year. Oh, then we became best friends.
Why'd you hate each other?
Have you met Casper Lee?
Yeah, he was on the show for you.
He beat me in a tennis match, basically. That was very competitive. Yeah. We became best
friends. Don't play sports with Josh, he will hate you.
Exactly. Okay. We became best friends. Casper moved over to the UK when we finished school to pursue YouTube.
And you went to the same school together?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. We were at each other's, you know, best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
I came over to the UK to play cricket professionally because that's what I wanted to do. That didn't end up working out. I spent a huge amount of time with Casper in the UK, ended up making YouTube videos, and yeah, that's sort of how I got into it.
Yeah, yeah. So when you started, obviously, it was, yeah, there was demand.
There was demand.
And what was the first video you put out?
The first video I put out, Jordan, was a very sophisticated piece where I tried a very hot chili.
Okay. What was the chili? Do you remember the name of the chili?
I can't remember the name of the chili, but it was very hot. Okay. And it got so hot that I actually took my T-shirt off in the video drank a lot of milk.
No exaggeration.
So,
there.
Okay. What the people wanted.
It was what the people
was
wanted.
Was this in the era as well where you could do like a 1:30 video? That was it.
It was 1:57 seconds, I think.
It was a good time, man.
How many people have watched you eat a chili?
Maybe like 500,000 views or something, which is crazy. And at the time, or even still, I do still feel a bit sort of guilty because I didn't have to do a lot to get that. You know, I put up a video of me eating a chili and it did really well. I was so lucky to have that. But I feel like I then got to learn so much about creating content and creating videos. And over the sort of, how long has it been? 8-9 years now that I've been making videos, I've managed to just learn so much and feel like now maybe alongside the help of Archie I'm able to create something that's not, well, that's a bit better than just eating a chili.
Yeah, we have to start somewhere.
Exactly,
right? There we go. Right, next one.
This is me quote tweeting one of your tweets.
Oh, great.
Because I have no followers. So I have to just jump on the back of your fame. Josh has written, "I tricked a bunch of reality stars into talking nonsense on a fake TV show. Full video out tomorrow, but here they are giving a shout out to a made up charity." And then I've given it the eye emoji and the
classic
emoji.
Yeah,
whatever that one is.
But also take a look.
That's me teasing future success.
Yeah.
To the 14.
And you say you don't know anything about social. Look at you.
God, I can use these.
He knows the game.
Yeah, he knows the game. What was that like?
That was a really fun video. So we got this idea because I was asked to do a talking heads video when magic goes horribly wrong, and essentially they show you a clip and they ask you to talk about it. So I thought, well, if we can pay celebrities to do that but show them complete nonsense clips, will they still talk about it? And it turns out the best thing that happened to Josh and Archie is the invention of a TV show called Love Island.
Oh yeah,
because it churns out roughly 30 to 50 idiots every single year, all of whom are desperate to be on camera.
Some of them are really nice,
some of them
smart.
Are lovely people, some of them are your best friends.
Wes Nelson was a nuclear something engineer. In terms of like pure comedy, I think that's the funniest video we've ever made.
We made them give a shout out to a charity that we made up called Skifrica to help underprivileged African children learn how to ski. And we got them saying things like they'll be shushing down the slopes of Nairobi.
They are television stars. They were being genuinely serious.
I've been paid a fortune.
Yeah.
Love Island doing their prime. Command sort of 1,500 quid to come and be interviewed about time travel. It's amazing the money they can get made.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
No.
What, they're cheaper now?
Yeah,
let's do another one.
I think they'll do it for free. And it's about relevance.
Most of them together. I know Alfie Best, who was in it, and Bobby Norris publicly posted about the video, said like, haha, like, good one, you got me. That
Bobby
was
Norris
so
took it so brilliantly. Yeah, he's a lovely, lovely guy.
That's an interesting point. Before we go on to this, what's the worst reaction you've ever, have you ever had a really bad reaction?
Our lawyers get letters.
Have you ever had directly anything where people, like, isn't people you've pranked have been like, nah.
Yep, it happens. Yeah. It does happen.
What's like the furthest down the line?
A proper legal letters. A real exchange of legal letters happens quite a lot.
Next.
This is a funny photo of me. I look pissed. But it's a photo of me and Katie Hopkins. Katie's got her trophy, her Campaign to Unify the Nation trophy. And I've tweeted, "Oh, Katie, what have you gone and done now?" I can't remember. She did something. This was after the video. And I tweeted that. I can't remember what she did.
I've still got a whole load of the sort of memorabilia from that video. I've got Katie's name badge, the menu. Yeah. I've got all of that at home. Yeah. This is a photo of me performing magic to a bunch of incredibly privileged children at the same school I went to.
What was the trick you were doing at the time?
I have absolutely no idea. I went back to the school I was at, which is a school called Radley near Oxford, to perform for them.
Did they enjoy it?
Well, I think so. But to be fair, they're children, so they're told to sit there and clap.
They have no choice.
They don't buy tickets. This is the evening activity. They can do that or not do it. They can't not do it. In fact, they have to be there.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm a professional magician. I still perform really regularly. So that's my kind
How'd you
of
get into magic?
Day job. Started when I was about four, given a set by my godmother and got completely addicted to it. And a lot of the ideas we come up with now are kind of magic related. There's an element of magic in most of what we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it's just like the principles of it.
And that was at Radley, was it?
That was at Radley. Josh is very unfairly branded as posh by virtue of the fact working
just
with him.
South African.
Daily Mail. In fact, the Daily Mail's headline last week was fantastic.
Oh, here we go.
This is, I'm going to have to find it properly.
It basically said...
No, don't ruin it. It's so good. Archie Manners is an extremely posh magician who's performed for Prince Harry and a large number of other socially brilliant clients. He's well known on YouTube with 1.4 million subscribers with his channel with Josh. Josh is from South Africa.
Hey,
just because I'm posh.
Come on, I've got some real vivid life. Back that from South Africa. And
it works both ways. I've read the other ones in South African press where I'm just a chubby little.
Ask to hear to send a libel letter. I think that'll do the trick.
Yes, I will. I will definitely do that. But you get like stick for going to an expensive school. Is that how? What's that like? I don't know why I'm asking you the question.
What is
I
that
just
like?
Want to know.
That's why you should be sitting over here, man.
As in, what being
as in, like, people
getting stick for big. Well, I get constantly told I'm a Tory.
Yeah, you do.
I get that a lot. I get, why is David Cameron's nephew on my TV? I get core Gordon Ramsay's put on ways. I get a lot of hate.
But I always think that's so unfair because you didn't sort of at the age of whatever you were go, send me to Radley. Or
I probably did, to be fair. I mean, I can give you the sort of boring answer.
Yeah.
I wish everyone could have the same opportunities I had. It was amazing. And I'd like to live in a country where everyone else has it.
Yeah.
The other answer is fuck them. It was a hell of a lot of fun. And I didn't run off the back of it. So who cares? Yeah. No. Genuinely, the first answer is the true answer.
Yeah. No, but that always annoys me. But obviously, it's not even about me. But it's like, he went to expensive school. Maybe you just need to turn your posh down a
little. Did you go to school at all in South Africa? Do you have school?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we learned to read and write and all that good stuff.
Let's turn on the tap. Oh,
yeah, it is unfair, actually, that
we learned how to pump from the well.
It's so unfair that I'm literally known as a soppy posh twat now on Twitter by a lot of people. I'm in no way posh.
He's incredibly common.
Maybe I need to just start talking a bit more like this and be a bit more
especially now.
South African. Okay, this is a tweet saying, do I go to bed or can we do this tonight? And it's a link to the YouTube channel and it's on 997,480 followers. So obviously just about to hit a million followers. So this was just after we'd put up the Deliveroo video. This was when Archie and I were working together. And
No. I was working for you.
Yeah.
Still on your channel individually.
It was called Josh Peters.
But the channel had sort of staggered to 900,000 subscribers and it stopped, basically. And then the Uber Tank video, the Queer Leg video, and now the Deliveroo video. And it was growing. It was such an exciting time. And that was obviously...
I remember you ringing me in tears. I was in Greece.
No, definitely wasn't in tears.
You were weeping.
Absolutely.
With joy.
No.
Thank you so much.
It was quite mega because I said to you, I reckon we can get this up to a million.
I think that was our goal when we first sat down and I said, like, Archie, do you want to, come and do this with me? The goal was get the channel to a million subscribers.
Yeah.
So the fact that we'd done it was amazing. And when you're gaining no subscribers, it feels pretty impossible. Maybe it was fair given the easier start I got to have to sort of push and struggle
you have, and when it comes to people that have struggled globally, you are right up there, my friend. You're up there with global poverty, famine, war.
Anyway, it was
Casper
very
gave
very
you a YouTube channel. Very person. Off it goes.
So the one last thing I wanted to ask you guys actually was, for anybody out there who is building a business, let's say they're making content, whatever it might be, and they are needing inspiration to take risks, what would be your biggest piece of advice about how to take risks successfully in order to help you with success?
I think you need to try a lot of things and figure out whether you are succeeding or fail fast. Is that? Oh God, I can't.
You just sound like a tosser. That's the problem.
Can I say I don't know?
Yeah, you can say you don't.
Because
know.
I think I just.
You just got to do stuff.
I think we both just.
Just do what Josh does, which is find an incredibly rich partner.
Yeah.
And then every risk isn't really a risk.
There we go.
By the way, partner, I meant his girlfriend, not me. Just to be really clarified, I meant
okay, Ellie.
She's
going
to hate this. She's going to absolutely... I'm going to be murdered.
I find it so hard to answer that question because I feel like life is literally 50% luck. I think you've got to...
It's more than that, I reckon.
You've got to put yourself in the right situations if you can and work hard to be in those positions. And then so much of our success has come down to luck honestly.
We do make our own luck, but even with that, it's more than 50% luck.
Yeah, but you're afforded the opportunity to make your own luck.
So,
you know, you're in the fact that we were able to make videos as opposed to having to go and work to support a family or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Like,
It's, you'd be good down the mine, though.
I think I would. I've got a good reach.
Got a good reach.
But I think ultimately, hard work does pay off, and I think your luck will come. But
keep buggering on. That's what Churchill said. KBO, keep buggering on.
There we go. And you wonder why people call you a Tory.
He's just quoted Churchill.
He was only a Tory in the latter half of his run. He was a liberal before then. He crossed the floor. I won't bore you about it, but 1940s, 30s politics.
Comments. It is a fascinating comment. No, for another podcast.
Comments are going to be so fun on this one.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it. There we go. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jordan. That was a lot of fun.
That was Josh and Archie, incredible characters, as you just saw, and also very impressive creators. What I think is the most standout piece for me around their brand, other than their ability to take risks, is the way that they balance each other out so well. Josh is coming from YouTube OG period during the time of, you know, the BritTubers, but also the kind of period after that. Whereas Archie is not into YouTube at all, doesn't care. It's not his world. So I think coming together and forming this duo, which is based around some more kind of mainstream sensibilities alongside Josh's understanding of YouTube, is a really great combination. The fact that, you know, Archie's there talking about getting mainstream attention is something that most creators don't really care about. And that's fine. Most creators like to sit in their YouTube bubble, and that's where they're comfortable, and that's also where their audience is. But for somebody like Archie, he's not in that audience, and he wants to make something that, you know, his parents will see. And then on the topic of risk, the big thing for me that shines through with both of them is that they love what they do and they enjoy it and they have a laugh. And I think in order to take risks and to be bold, you need to have a team around you who supports you in that and makes it a fun process, because I think it'd be a lot harder to pull anything off like they've done with Katie Hopkins, like they've done with Josh Stoppel or whoever it might be. It's much more difficult to do that on your own. And I think those guys coming together and having a great time doing it seems to be the secret sauce behind it all. So really hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back for another episode of Unboxed next week. So make sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you very soon.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.